Where did you go? Dinner. Are there good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
I learned a lot from Richard Nixon.
But when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie. I'm sorry.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
To the graduates of West Point, nice to see you, okay? I don't think we need to be sitting so far apart, but that's okay. I know a lot of people, you know, we're in New York with Angry Andrews, so I'm sure he's telling you to stay 20 feet apart and don't have fun and don't be happy. Well, I want you to be happy because you're our warriors. You're our strongest warriors. West Point. When they say West Point, you know, that's, there's a lot of great history with West Point. And remember West Side Story? You know, the PC left would probably tell you that, like, we can't have West Side Story anymore because they had white people, great white people, playing Puerto Ricans, and they'll probably tell you that that's not okay. What's, you know, what's next? I don't even know what's next for them, but they'll probably cancel West Side Story, but I won't let them cancel West Point. We're not going to let them cancel West Point. Reminds me when I was in military school, you know, which is even tougher than West Point because you guys are all graduating from college. I was in high school going through military toughness. So, like, believe me, I know what you're going through. I know it probably a little better than even you do. But you're our warriors. We have a strong economy for you, great wealth. We've defeated the COVID. Please sit closer together. We've defeated the COVID. Stop coughing. Get closer. But we defeated the COVID. We're getting out of terrible wars started by other people. And we've got great health and great wealth. So it's a great time for you to have me here, and I'm so proud of everybody at West Point. Even the, you know, even some of the African-American cadets who maybe don't like some of the great Civil War generals from the South. But believe me, you're just a cadet, okay? You're just graduating. They did a lot better than you. Those Southern Confederate generals, they were strong, I tell you. So don't look sad. We're all in this together. And enjoy yourself at Fort Stonewall Jackson Hates the Blacks. We've renamed it. We have great military. Congratulations.
According to a new poll, 27% of Americans somewhat or strongly agree that Donald Trump is a man of faith, which not a lot of people, but still too many of them. Trump's faith is like Bigfoot. Only a handful of nuts believe it exists, and the only evidence is this photo of a lumbering ape-like creature holding a Bible upside down. So last night I mentioned that Trump tweeted another wackadoodle conspiracy theory claiming that a 75-year-old protester who was shoved to the ground by police in Buffalo could be some kind of evil Antifa operative jamming police scanners with his phone. Of course, there was no evidence whatsoever to support this, but does the president regret tweeting it? Well, according to official Trump spokesmodel Casey Magaluni, no, he does not.
Does the president regret tweeting out a baseless conspiracy theory about a 75-year-old protester on the morning of George Floyd's funeral?
The president was asking questions about an interaction in a video clip he saw, and the president has the right to ask those questions. Rather,
upon the president to have facts before he tweets anything out, he's the president of the United States.
The president did have facts before he tweeted out that undergirded his questions.
Baseless conspiracy theory.
It's not a baseless conspiracy. No, not at all. I won't acknowledge that.
Meanwhile, the Republican National Convention is getting a change of venue. They were supposed to hold it in North Carolina, but North Carolina said no because of concerns about large gatherings and the coronavirus. So the GOP is moving the convention to another state, and see if you can guess which one. Which state is willing to put lives at risk so the president can give a speech in front of a big crowd? I'll put 30 seconds on the clock. Oh, you know it already. Okay, that's right. Florida is the answer. Jacksonville, Florida is the likely location for the RNC. The president has reportedly said he isn't worried about an outbreak there because the virus primarily affects people who are old or have underlying conditions, which that doesn't sound like the population of Florida to me. And you know they won't wear masks. Masks will be a rarity at the convention. So we came up with what I believe might be a magnificent idea. I'm planning to sell these, actually, outside the convention. This is the first official MAGA bleach helmet. Okay? You just ship on the Clorox, and now fans of Donald Trump can be white on the inside, too.
And what a convention it's going to be. Because last night, the Republican National Committee's executive panel voted to make no changes to its 2016 party platform, a platform that condemns the, quote, current president. Looks like Mitt Romney's not going to be sitting alone after all. Apparently, the GOP didn't think to update their statements from 2016 based on who was in the White House in 2020, which is why their official platform currently reads, quote, "The current administration has abandoned America's friends and rewarded its enemies." Yes, the current administration has abandoned its friends. A couple of wives, too.
So Trump's planning to have a rally next Friday in Tulsa.
Now, Trump's been itching to get out of the White House recently. He's got a bad case of bunker fever. So he's revving up his summer campaign bus tour with rallies in Florida, Oklahoma, Arizona, Texas, and North Carolina. I guess he just misses walking out to a large crowd that he hasn't tear gassed. His first rally takes place in Tulsa on June 19th, also known as Juneteenth, an annual holiday commemorating the end of slavery in the United States. And 99 years ago this month, Tulsa was the site of one of the country's bloodiest outbreaks of racial violence when white mobs attacked black citizens and businesses with guns and explosives. Now, to be fair, there's no way Trump knows that much American history. I'm pretty sure he just told Stephen Miller, "Steve, pick the most offensive date and location you can think of and put it up there on my Hooters calendar. Ooh, this month is clam strips. Daddy-like." Obviously, any public gathering is a public health risk due to coronavirus. Still, the Trump campaign is unlikely to put into place any social distancing measures for rally attendees or require them to wear masks. But as a precautionary measure, every attendee will be provided a syringe full of bleach.
President Trump says that he is now switching dates because he doesn't want this rally to conflict with the African American observance of Juneteenth.
Excuse me, do I know Juneteenth? I know Juneteenth. Okay, I know it better than you. I know you think because you're who you are, you know Juneteenth better than I know Juneteenth, okay? Juneteenth, of course, is, they used to call it a bat mitzvah, okay? This is when the great Jewish girls become women, okay? And they changed the name, Juneteenth, like Jewish teens. You know, recently, it's a recent thing, okay, that they've changed, and it's okay, it's okay. You know, maybe they want a different branding, okay? It's understandable. Bat mitzvah is kind of, you know, not, you know, Juneteenth sounds a lot cooler, if I can be honest, okay? So, no, I know Juneteenth, okay? It was, you know, bat mitzvah, it's a great thing when the Jewish girls become women, okay? That was part of my great friend Jeff Epstein's defense, was that under the old traditions, some of the women he was with, okay, were women by the bat mitzvah Juneteenth standard. You know, states might have had a different opinion, and that's okay. You can have, you know, the laws sometimes, like, different. Okay, sometimes it's different. But sometimes you have to, because I believe in great faith and religious liberties. It's called religious. Mike, you love religious liberties, right? That's like your thing, right? You love it. He's so religious. And, you know, he loves you were watching the Like a Prayer. You were dancing to the Like a Prayer video in your office, right? It's a great, you know, with the, you know, studying the enemy. I know. It's a nasty video, very anti-faith. But we're doing great things. And we've got to have great religious liberty. And that's what I wanted from my great friend, Jeff Epstein, who I thought made a strong argument that these women were women by the bat mitzvah Juneteenth standard. Some of them even by 2 or 3 years, like not even a close call. So it's a disgrace what happened to him. And I don't like your nasty question, so we're not calling on you anymore. I know what Juneteenth is.
The U.S. Army recently announced that it is open to considering the removal of Confederate leaders' names from U.S. military bases. Well, that's reasonable, considering those men waged war on the U.S. military. It's one of the reasons the Navy renamed the USS Saddam Hussein. Now, these bases weren't named right after the Civil War. Back then, people knew these men were traitors to the Union. The bases got their names after all the Civil War veterans were dead at the height of Jim Crow. So this sounds like a slam dunk. I mean, only someone completely tone deaf to the continuing pain of black Americans who make up 20% of the U.S. Army would disagree.
Trump's political standing has eroded considerably over the past month, and he's in a weak position as any incumbent president has ever been in the history of modern polling. So Trump and his supporters in the GOP and on right-wing TV are resorting to the only two tactics they have left, amping up the racism and nursing deranged cultural grievances. For example, after the Army said they were considering renaming bases that had been named after Confederate leaders who were violent white supremacists and traitors, Trump lashed out on Twitter. And for some reason, his White House handed out physical copies of his statement to reporters in the press room.
The president is dismissing an idea under consideration by the Pentagon of renaming bases that honor Confederate officers.
Now, let me just tell you what happened in the last few minutes here to give you a sense of how this went down at the White House. The president, of course, just tweeted a few moments ago, and then they handed out a printout of the president's tweet. The press secretary came out and also read the president's tweet.
It has been suggested that we should rename as many as 10 of our legendary military bases, such as Fort Bragg in North Carolina, Fort Hood in Texas, Fort Benning in Georgia, etc. These monumental and very powerful bases have become part of a great American heritage and a .. history of winning victory and freedom.
First, they didn't fight for freedom. Second, winning and victory are the same thing, and the Confederacy didn't do either of them. You'd know that if you weren't stupid and an idiot. I'm sorry, sir, you were dog whistling?
My administration will not even consider the renaming of these magnificent and fabled military installations.
Well, I guess it's not surprising that Trump's okay with naming things after old racist guys. He did name his own son Donald Trump.
Also, what do you mean they're part of a great American heritage and a history of winning victory and freedom? Confederates famously fought against America, and they lost. Since when do we name military bases after people who lost wars against America? Is there a naval base named after King George III? Would you make American soldiers train at Fort Il Duce? Also, I love this part. Magnificent and fabled military installations. Those bases are a lot of things, but they're not fabled. They're really there. We're not talking about an Aztec city of gold. Gather round, and I'll tell you the tale of a fabled Fort Bragg, a charmless cluster of wooden buildings where men fall from the sky of wings of nylon. And by the way, not only were Confederate leaders slavers, traitors, and white supremacists, they were also Take General Braxton Bragg, for example. Bragg resigned from the Confederate Army after losing a decisive battle, and on top of that, Bragg was a jackass and an ass. Bragg had such a notoriously bad temper that Union General Ulysses S. Grant, in his memoirs, recalled a story of one of Bragg's superiors admonishing him. "My God, Mr. Bragg, you have quarreled with every officer in the Army, and now you're quarreling with yourself." No wonder Trump likes him. He was a racist psycho who liked to fight with people. They didn't have Twitter back then, but I'm guessing Bragg's telegrams would have been right up Trump's alley. "Dear General Grant, I have retained highly respected post of McLaughlin and Associates to analyze the results of the Civil War, which I felt were fake,
Based on the incredible enthusiasm we are receiving, Lion Lincoln is a loser. Regards, General Bragg. P.S. I spent a good bit of time working on this.
Trump probably likes him because he thinks he invented bragging.
You know, before Braxton Bragg, you just had to hope people knew how rich you were without you telling them. It was a dark time. It was a very dark time.
Also, it's worth noting that all these Confederate generals Trump is praising probably would have hated him. I mean, sure, he's also a racist, but there's no way they'd enjoy spending time with his New York City blowhard. If he was at one of their cotillions, Trump would have been glove-slapped every 5 minutes.
For the insult of your locker room talk, I challenge you to a duel at dawn, good sir.
What can I do dawn tomorrow? I've already been challenged to a duel then. Does next Wednesday work?
So as he plummets in the polls, Trump thinks his ticket to a political resurgence is appealing directly to racists who idolize the white supremacist Confederacy. But he's clearly facing headwinds because even the cultural institutions you might think of as occupying the conservative end of the spectrum are dumping the Confederate symbols. The U.S. Navy has joined the Marines and moving to ban the Confederate battle flag. And even NASCAR is weighing in with a firm anti-Confederacy stance. I honestly can't even believe it's a question at this point whether or not we should be celebrating the symbols of an explicitly white supremacist cause like the Confederacy that fought to destroy the United States. And yet NASCAR is doing more to lead right now than the President of the United States. The right's defense of Confederate symbols comes as protesters across the country have been taking down Confederate statues, like, for example, the statue of Confederate President and violent white supremacist traitor Jefferson Davis in Richmond on Wednesday. This morning, Trump once again defended Confederate symbols, scream-tweeting, in all caps, "Those that deny their history are doomed to repeat it." Of course, Trump probably most hates the removal of Confederate statues because he stands like a statue of Donald Trump that is currently being pulled down. I mean, seriously, look at that forward lean. All that's missing are protesters pulling on cables. If we could just get the chest out a little further past the toes, the whole thing will come down.
Donald Trump had quite a weekend. He put on a bigly presentation at West Point on Saturday where he showed up to give a commencement speech. Whether the graduates wanted it or not, the cadets at West Point were sent home in March because of the virus for safety reasons, but then Trump decided he wanted to give a speech in person, so all the cadets were ordered to return to campus and stay in quarantine for 2 weeks. They were literally a captive audience, so our commander in beef could pretend he's in charge of the military. And of course, some of those cadets wound up testing positive for the virus, but that's not what's important. What's most important is that Donald Trump had an audience for what turned out to be a historic speech. No president in the history of this country has ever taken a weirder drink of water than this. Is that one of the side effects of hydroxy? I mean, what is up with his hand? Did he hurt it holding the Bible upside down? Let's look at that again, because there's clearly something going on. It's weak, and this is not the first time we've seen this. This clip's from November of 2017. You can see here, he managed to open the water bottle, but then he needed two hands to drink it. And then next month, this happened again. What is he doing? He's like a witch sipping out of a goblet full of toadstools or something. And he had another weird move on Memorial Day. Now watch here. Everybody folds their arms, so he folds his arms. But then he gives it's just kind of a weak shake. Is it possible that, like, so many former members of his staff, his arm just doesn't want to work with him anymore? His arm's like, listen, you used me to grab women, to tweet lies, to shovel McNuggets into that bloat hole, to Sharpie a hurricane. I've had enough. I quit. Remember when Trump made fun of Marco Rubio drinking water?
It's Rubio!
Oh, he's so talented. That is from the Spray Tan Collar Comedy Tour. And then, as if the water thing wasn't weird enough for one speech, he took a very strange walk down a ramp. This was a big topic online this weekend. So after his speech, you can see there he is. He shakes hands with the lieutenant general, who then gives him a wave, and then down he goes, very slowly tippy-tapping down the ramp, tentatively, like he's walking barefoot on sharp rocks. And maybe the bone spurs are acting up? Everybody's wondering what was going on. And we found out when he got to the bottom of the ramp, it turns out he still had his clown shoes on. So we can only hope he steps down that gracefully after November. So they post this video and everybody goes nuts. And our unstable genius just cannot take being made fun of. So instead of just letting it go, Rumpelstiltskin tweets, The ramp that I descended after my West Point commencement speech was very long and steep, had no handrail, and most importantly, was very slippery. The last thing I was going to do is fall for the fake news to have fun with. Final 10 feet, I ran down to level ground. Momentum. Final 10 feet, he ran down. He didn't know, he did not. And the idea that the ramp was slippery seems suspect, considering there was not a cloud in the sky. I don't know, maybe some curly fries he had in his pocket fell out and greased the ramp on the way up. I don't know. Trump is very defensive about anything that makes him look weak. He doesn't wear a mask. He's too strong to get coronavirus. I wasn't in the bunker for protection. I was inspecting it. I wasn't shuffling down that ramp like an old man. It was slippery, and I ran down it. Also, the ramp was covered in banana peels, and there were many snakes. I am braver than every soldier. We wrote that, but it isn't out of the realm of possibility.
This afternoon, Donald Trump signed an executive order on police reform. Now, before you get excited, don't. It doesn't do much. It does propose a national database of police misconduct. So he's compiling an Excel spreadsheet of all the worst cops in America. Not sure what he's going to do with it.
Let's see, I need someone to curb stomp some protesters. Ooh, he's got big boots.
Trump's order will also urge social workers and mental health professionals to work more closely alongside frontline officers. It doesn't say how closely they'll be working together, because that might get a little weird. Okay, you just tear gassed a group of unarmed civilians. Is that because you never felt accepted by your mother? Okay, I'm aware of the time. Let's take this up at next week's pepper spraying. Trump's plan also promises federal grant money to encourage local departments to bolster training and certification. I'm pretty sure the chant is defund the police. If you give them more funding, they're just going to spend it on a tank called the De-escalator 4000.
So we've got an executive order that we're doing. It's a strong order, and it's from the executive. That's what they call this. Sometimes you say the White House or the president. But it's more than the, I mean, well, it's not much more than the president, but it's, you know, they call the whole group the executive branch. It's like a tree that's made of government. And on that very powerful branch is the executive. I'd say the strongest branch. But we're doing some police reforms, and believe me, Obama, he tried, and he couldn't get it done. But I've done more for the African-American community than basically anybody, I think. I don't think you'll find anybody who's done more strong things for the African-American community. I'm still waiting for my invite to the cookout. I might have my own cookout at the White House. You know, have Ben Carson bring the raisin-filled potato salad. Candace Owens will bring the, I don't know what she'll bring, but she'll probably bring it with great intellect. Okay, she'll probably bring her new boyfriend, okay, Derek Chauvin. She's, you know, they've been going steady for a little bit, so we're eager to meet him. But we have three great things in this executive order, three great things. Number one, in official White House emails from the president, Colin Kaepernick will no longer be referred to as that kneeling N-word. Okay, so we're trying to heal. We're trying to use more constructive language. It's called easing the tension. Number two, although we don't defund the police, which I don't like that term, we are asking Sting to rejoin the police at 75% salary. We're hoping that can get it done if he's not too busy having 40-hour sex. And the third thing we're doing, Mike Pence can no longer role play in his Village People police costume. So it's a strong thing, and we'll see what happens.
Now, before the signing, Trump met with the families of police shooting victims, and he made them a solemn oath, which he apparently forgot immediately.
I gave a commitment to all of those families today with Senator Tim Scott and Attorney General Bill Barr. We are going to pursue what we said. We will be pursuing it, and we will be pursuing it strongly.
As God is my witness, I promise to pursue the thingamajig that we said with the folks for the what you call it. And those people, and what's her name, and the point is, black lives, meow, meow, meow.
Now, this event was supposedly about police reform, but Trump made it clear that he doesn't think it's that necessary.
Nobody needs a strong, trustworthy police force more than those who live in distressed areas, and nobody is more opposed to the small number of bad police officers, and you have them. They're very tiny. I use the word tiny.
Tiny bad cops. Little Lego baddies. Still, the danger is if you step on them in the middle of the night, you're in for a world of pain.
Then Trump announced his decisively conditional action.
Chokeholds will be banned, except if an officer's life is at risk.
That's a loophole big enough to drive a squad car through. All right, everybody. After multiple incidents, hungry tigers will now be banned from this elementary school, unless the tiger finds the children particularly delicious. Class dismissed.
And I think the concept of chokehold sounds so innocent, so perfect.
Then, right before he signed the executive order, he closed by making it creepy.
We must cherish the principles of America's founding as we strive to deliver safe, beautiful, elegant justice and liberty for all.
And so what we see with Trump is he's really historically, he's the second president of the Confederacy.
Thanks for the... This week from
Golden Earring.
And thanks to
Rod Serling, Rudy Giuliani, Cartman, Richard Nixon, J.L. Corvin,
Jimmy
Kimmel, Kristen Welker, Kaylee McEnany, Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers,
and
Steve Schmidt.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.